Leslie Brown, a widow, lived off a meager disability check she received each month after the death of her husband. The terror attack that brought the United States to its knees occurred several days before her latest check was due to arrive. This was the time of the month when things always got lean around her house and they started to run out of the basics. The timing of the terror attacks couldn't have been any worse for her on a personal level. Her pantry was already empty. The check that she received was barely enough for one person, but she stretched it for two. She had taken in her grandson to raise. Her daughter Debbie wasn't anything to brag about. She hadn't finished high school, had never held a job for very long, and found herself with a successive string of useless boyfriends. When Debbie and her current boyfriend were between places to stay, it had torn at Leslie's heart to see her grandson Dylan dragged from place to place. She asked Debbie if she would let him stay with her until they got settled. The invitation was meant for a couple of days, a couple of weeks at most. But it had been over a year, and Dylan was still with her. Her daughter made no mention of taking him back to live with her. Leslie loved Dylan. In some ways, perhaps she loved him more than she'd ever loved her daughter. She was glad to have him, glad to be able to provide a stable home for him. But she did wish that the money would go a little further each month. While Leslie knew her daughter received food stamps and assistance for Dylan, she had no idea where it went because she never saw any of it. Leslie lived inside the town limits of Damascus, which rarely experienced power outages in her neighborhood. She didn't keep much in the way of emergency supplies. The day before, the water had quit running. Leslie and her grandson went to the creek that passed through town and filled buckets, bringing them to the house for flushing toilets. A neighbor told her that she could put 8 drops of household bleach in a gallon of the water and make it drinkable. Leslie didn't know if that was dependable information or not, but it was from one of those outdoorsy kinds of people. The neighbor looked like the kind of person who would know how much bleach to add to a gallon of water, so she believed the advice. She hadn't tried it yet, though. She and Dylan spent the last day drinking all the oddball drinks that were still in the pantry, like juice boxes that had fallen behind other things, expired cans of orange juice, and stray bottles of Kool-Aid. The odd assortment of food and drink was like a game to Dylan, and he didn't complain. When Robert Hardwick knocked at the door, Leslie took it as a positive sign. The man had to have had better resources than she had, and hopefully whatever he wanted would benefit her and her grandson in some way. She pushed open the screen door and smiled. "Hello, Robert. I'm surprised to see people out visiting." "I'm sorry, Mrs. Brown, but this isn't a social call," Robert said, a grim smile on his face. "I need something, and I'm hoping you can help me out."
"I don't have much, but I'll help if I can."
"You know, my wife had surgery."
"How's she getting along with that? Is she okay?"
Robert nodded distractedly. "Oh, yeah, she's okay. The problem is Grace."
"Grace? Is she okay?"
Robert sighed. "I have no idea. I think she is. She's on the road coming back from Oxford and all this mess. I have her going to a friend's house along the way for safety, but she's not there yet. I need to go meet her at the friend's house and help get her home." Leslie considered this, her brow furrowing.
"Is your wife able to care for herself and Blake?"
Robert shook his head. "She's not fully back on her feet yet. She'd probably be okay, but I'd feel much better if I had someone there to help her out around the house."
"So you'd like me to come stay and keep an eye on her?"
"If it's no trouble," Robert said. "I hate to ask in all this mess. I hate to ask you to leave your home in the middle of this disaster, but it's an emergency. You could bring your grandson, of course. Do you think you can do it?" Leslie's heart raced. It was the best news she'd heard in days. She had seen the inside of the Hardwicks' pantry. They had a lot more food than she did. She and Dylan were a few canned meals away from eating 9-year-old cans of sauerkraut.
"Of course I'll do it," Leslie said. "I'd be glad to."
"When can you come?"
"I'd probably have to go back with you right now. My car's out of gas, and people say you can't get any more."
"You can't," Robert confirmed. "I happened to have a little in this vehicle here and drove it down. I was even a little nervous about doing that, with people starting to act a little crazy out there."
"Could you give me a few minutes, then, to get some stuff together for me and my grandson?"
Robert nodded. "Take your time. I'll be waiting in the car."